So Hare Krishna, I first of all want to welcome all of you affectionately. I see some of you have just arrived, most probably after a tiresome journey in the night, and you are here with us. Thank you very much. And those of you who already celebrate since Thursday, I think we started. Nice to have you back again. As we all know, and most probably we were tuning our mind into this event. Krishna, the Supreme Lord, who is so benevolent and munificent, has made his divine appearance 50 times 100 years ago. A little plus by now. And for us as devotees of Krishna, this is a very important day. It may be a day, or is good for us in many ways, but one of the perhaps most important ways is that today we think about our own relationship with Krishna. For some it might mean to reconsider it. That means to think again and see where do I stand now in my relationship with Krishna. I will soon give my lecture, but I would like to introduce my lecture. And for this introduction, you might have to focus, because what I wish to say, I can only express in subtle words, in hints perhaps. My dear devotees, for me, Jamashtami always had two dimensions. One is a historical event, if you so wish. Krishna appeared in troubled times, as we have heard. The earth was ruled by a powerful Asuric being, Kamsa. He was much more powerful than today's politicians, much more. He had the support of magic, which makes everything possible. He had the support of powerful other demons. So it was troubled times for those who were engaged in spiritual life. So this is a historic event, but I always thought, what does this event, how does it relate to me now, 5,000 plus some years later? And I always understood in my life that Krishna does not appear once only, but he appears as many times in the hearts of a devotee as the devotee is opening his heart. So there is a timeless dimension to Jamashtami, or the idea of the appearance of God. There's a personal dimension of this, the appearance of Lord Krishna in our own hearts. And in preparing this lecture, I was also thinking what is necessary so that Krishna's appearance in our heart takes place. And I was in my research seeing that when Krishna appeared on the earth 5,000 years ago, most of the people didn't recognize him. Do you know this? There were only a few who saw him. Even those who interacted very regularly and prominently with him, like, for instance, Duryodhana, or even his father, Dhritarashtra, they couldn't quite grasp Krishna. Dhritarashtra, for instance, once said to Krishna, Vasudev, he addressed him as Vasudev, the son of Vasudev. Vasudev Krishna, when you speak to me, at that time, my consciousness is illumined, it is full of light, and I see the reality before me. He was referring to things like he could understand who is Krishna. But, O Vasudev, something strange happens. When you move away, then my consciousness, when you go to another place like this, my consciousness is again in darkness and I cannot see. What is this phenomena about you? You appear for a short time only in the consciousness as a flash of lightning, and then you seem to disappear and there's darkness around us. I think all the devotees of Krishna know this, that sometimes Krishna seems just so close, yet there are other times where he seems so far and we don't even understand his plan for us and the world. No? So I was thinking about this in the last months or so, I worked very thoroughly through the prayers of Queen Kunti, who was one of those who knew that Krishna is God. And I was asking myself, what's the difference between others who may have seen Krishna even more frequently than Kunti, although I doubt this, and Queen Kunti, why could one see not see Krishna like Duryodhan? Why was another one just sometimes he almost got it and then he lost it, like in this example? And how is it that someone can be aware of Krishna's presence in his life? And research on this subject and the discussion with many exalted Vaishnavas brought me to a certain understanding, which if we can understand it, it's based of course on the Bhagavatam, this understanding. If you can enter into the mystery of this understanding, my dear devotees, you will leave Goloka Dham as enlightened swords. Kishore Gopal, is that a good project? That's a good project. Yeah. You can actually make significant changes in your life, and and come to your next level, wherever it is that you are. Krishna himself encourages us to do a little research work on his appearance. He says, janma karma cha me divyam, and so on. One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities, one who knows this super special, sometimes hidden, beyond everything else, extraordinary nature of my appearance and activities, does not, when he leaves the body, take another birth in this material world, no, but attains my eternal abode. O Arjuna. No, so this is the promise of this, and therefore I really request you to be attentive. As always, I will speak in simple English. I will not use difficult words and phrases, but as most of the time, there will be very subtle hints in what you hear, so you might be attentive. Having said this, let us sing. Today is the day of singing and dancing. If you never sing and dance, do it today. This is the joy. We hear when Krishna appeared in Braj, the bridge bars, he sung and danced the whole day, and then they took yogurt and threw yogurt on each other and colors, and it is described by Jiva Goswami that the streets of Nandagram were drenched in this liquid yogurt milk, and it was flowing down. It must have been very refreshing, you know, fresh yogurt in the summer on your body, bang, wow, this was a good idea, you would see. Good. We will not do this in Goloka Dham, at least not at this moment, or let us say not during this festival.
Thank you. Krishna.
Love.
Krishna. We will hear today a verse from the prayers by Queen Kunti. And wow, this sounds like a dinosauria, the voice. What do we do here? Yes, perhaps. Thank you. Queen Kunti is, I think it will come. Queen Kunti is asking herself, what could be the reasons for Krishna's appearance? And she gives different possibilities. She says, some say you appeared, Krishna, because at that time when you appeared, the world was in great danger. It was like a boat that was about to capsize and sink in the ocean. Yeah, so that was because there were so many demons around at that time who were ruling the world. And you came to restore Dharma. And she goes through many different possibilities why Krishna could have appeared. But then she comes to a conclusion. She says, you have appeared to bring back the process of devotional service because by hearing about you and remembering your glorious pastimes, those souls who are here captured in this world of birth and death can actually return to you. So you came and did pastimes so that we could hear afterwards about you. This is confirmed in the ninth canto also. So we will first hear this verse. Shinvanti gayanti grinantya bikshnasha. Shinvanti gayanti smaranti nandanti tavihitam jana.
Smaranti nandanti tavihitam
jana. Taeva pasyant yachirena tavakam.
Taeva pasyant yachirena tavakam.
Bhava prava o paramang padam bujam. Sinvanti gayanti grinantya pikshnasha.
Sinvanti gayanti grinantya pikshnasha.
Smaranti nandanti tavitam jana.
Smaranti nandanti tavitam jana.
Taeva pasyant yachirena tavakam.
Taeva pasyant yachirena tavakam.
Bhava pravaho paramang padam bujam. Can someone else please chant?
Bhava Prabhava Paramam Param Bhujam.
Maybe one Vaishnavi, if possible. Shinvanti, here, Gayanti, chant, Grinanti, take, Abhikshnashaha, continuously, Smaranti, remember, Nandanti, take pleasure. Tava, your itam activities. Janaha, people in general. They. Eva, certainly. Pashyanti, can see. Achirena, very soon. Tavakam, your bhava-pravaha, the current of rebirth, uparamam, cessation, padambujam, lotus feet. So, yes. Here's a very important verse, bhava pravaha. Pravaha means like a river, a current, a flow. You speak, for instance, of the pravaha of the Bhagavatam, the flow of the subject matters. But here, bhava pravaha means the river of bhava, repeated birth and death. So, O Krishna, those who continuously hear, chant, and repeat your transcendental activity, or take pleasure in others doing so, certainly see your lotus feet, which alone can stop the repetition of birth and death. So, she says, if we hear, chant, and repeat your transcendental activities, something happens to us, which we will learn a little later. That special thing which happens to us can stop our repetition of birth and death. So, here's the purport. Are you interested to hear Prabhupada's explanation?
Yes.
I will check how well you concentrate from time to time. No? The Supreme Lord Sri Krishna cannot be seen by our present conditional vision. In order to see him, one has to change his present vision by developing a different condition of life full of spontaneous love of Godhead. So we cannot see him with our present eyes the way they are. We have to get a new set of eyes, apparently, the eyes of love. No? When Sri Krishna was personally present on the face of the globe, not everyone could see him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Materialists like Ravan, Hiranyakashipu, Kamsa, Jarasandha and Shishupal were highly qualified personalities. by acquisition of material essence, but they were still unable to appreciate that the Lord was present amongst them. Therefore, even though the Lord may be present before our eyes, it's not possible to see Him unless we have the necessary vision. So the Lord could sit directly like this before you. But still, you will not be able to see Him. Very interesting, no? This necessary qualification is developed by the process of devotional service only, beginning with eating pizza. No? Beginning with hearing about the Lord from the right sources. I will check you a few times. So, the Bhagavad Gita is one of the popular literatures which are generally heard, chanted, repeated, etc. by the people in general. But in spite of such hearing, etc., sometimes it is experienced that the performer of such devotional services does not see the Lord eye to eye. Prabhupada is very generous, he says. The Bhagavad Gita is well known, it's very popular, Krishna's words. But still, it can happen that someone hears it and he says this is a devotional service, but he cannot see the Lord eye to eye. Perhaps this relates to 99% of us. Perhaps. The reason is that the first item, Shravana, is very important. If hearing is from the right sources, it acts very quickly. Generally, people hear from unauthorized persons. Such unauthorized persons may be very learned by academic qualifications, but because they do not follow the principles of devotional service, hearing from them becomes a sheer waste of time. Sometimes the texts are interpreted fashionably to suit their own purposes. Therefore, first, one should select a competent and bona fide speaker and then hear from him. When the hearing process is perfect and complete, the other processes become automatically perfect in their own way. Wow, this is a very, very amazing point, as is repeated by Prabhupada. He said, start your devotional service with hearing, and then you will see that by and by the other processes, for instance, smaranam or archanam, parasevanam, up to atmanivedanam, total surrender, they will follow. And he gives an example. When in a mango tree, say one fruit matures, the other fruits follow suit. There is a law, you know. How do you make a mango mature? Well, you have to bring it next to another mature mango, and then it matures. Also, you know, this also relates to bananas, by the way. If you have bananas which are not yet mature and you feel discouraged and do not wish to eat them, bring a mature banana with these brown spots, put it next to them, and it will happen overnight often. So this one process, Prabhupada says, Shravanam, from the perfect person, will help us to mature in all other aspects of our devotional life. Amazing, no? There are different transcendental activities of the Lord. Today in the evening we will hear something, we will hear about the disguises which Krishna uses. So it is something you have never, that you will appreciate very much. So there are different transcendental activities of the Lord, and each and every one of them is competent to bestow the desired result, provided the hearing process is perfect. In the Bhagavatam, the activities of the Lord begin from his dealings. Where does the Bhagavatam begin? Telling about Krishna. I will tell you. The first time Krishna appears in the Bhagavatam is again in a moment of deep crisis. Ashwatthama has released, has entered the camp of this, of, this is a very, very difficult for me to say. Anyways, I do it quick. The camp of the Pandavas, in the night he came. They were all sleeping. A few hours before, Krishna had told the five Pandavas, we will not sleep in our camp this night. We will go in another place because we have to take care of the booties and the winds of the war. So he brought the five Pandavas out of the camp, knowing well what would happen. So Ashwatthama entered the camp. He entered the places where his spies had told him the Pandavas were resting, and he found five people there. It were the sons of the Pandavas. And in the dead of night, without even saying one word, he had slaughtered them. He had even cut off their heads. Crisis! So, Arjuna promised Draupadi to bring the murderer of her children to her side, to decide what to do with him. And he went with Krishna as his chariot driver after Ashwatthama. This is described in the Bhagavatam. Ashwatthama saw Krishna and Arjuna coming after him and threw what should not have been done according to the codex of Kshatriya warfare. He threw a most dangerous weapon which could in theory destroy the whole world if it would not be captured. And he didn't know how to capture it after it had done his work. So, crisis. Then Krishna told Arjuna, throw another Brahmastra and I will arrange that the two will neutralize each other. And it was done. So that's how we see Krishna the first time in the Bhagavatam, in full gallop. The hair is flowing left and right. Although it's an intense moment, there's a divine smile around his face because the Lord never stops smiling, not even when he comes together with the human folly. And that's the first time. So in in the Bhagavatam, the activities of the Lord begin from his dealings with the Pandavas. Yes, there are many other pastimes of the Lord in connection with his dealings with the Asuras and others. And in the 10th canto, the sublime dealing with his conjugal associates, the Gopis, as well as with his married wives at Dwaraka, are mentioned. Since the Lord is absolute, there is no difference in the transcendental nature of each and every dealing of the Lord. But sometimes people in an unauthorized hearing process take more interest in hearing about his dealings with the gopis. Such an inclination indicates the lusty feelings of the hearer. So a bona fide speaker of the dealings of the Lord never indulges in such hearings. One must hear about the Lord from the very beginning, as in the Srimad Bhagavatam or any other scriptures. And that will help the hearer attain perfection by progressive development. We have 7 more lines. You can do it. Remain attentive. So, where are we up till now? We're hearing really about bona fide hearing from the right sources. We have heard that such bona fide hearing includes all the activities of the Lord and not differentiating. This is not needed for us. And Prabhupada ends like this: one should not therefore consider that his dealings with the Pandavas are less important than his dealings with the gopis. We must always remember that the Lord is always transcendental to all mundane attachment. In all the above mentioned dealings of the Lord, he is the hero in all circumstances, and hearing about him or about his devotees or combatants, that means those who fight with him, is conducive to spiritual life. It is said that the Vedas and Puranas, etc., are all made to revive our lost relationship with him. Hearing of all the scriptures is essential. So let us say the pranamas. You know them. Namo
Krishna Vishaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta
Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashacharya Shunyavadine Sri
Krishna
This is Krishna. He appears to give us subject matters of hearing about him, then chanting or talking about him, and repeating it, and taking pleasure in this. And if we do this, my dear devotees, we will not see the repeated birth and death, but we will see the lotus feet of the Lord very, very soon. So, let us hear a little bit about Krishna's extraordinary activities. A little over 500 years, Krishna appeared. In other lectures we have, it's quite interesting how he appeared both in Mathura and in Braj, but today this will not be our focus. He appeared to Vasudev and Devaki, who were imprisoned. So how did he appear? Was there any, did they lie next to each other? Did they do what human beings do in order to have children? No. We hear they were chained because Kamsa had imprisoned them. One was chained there, the other was chained there. So how did Krishna then appear? Now the Bhagavatam explains that he first appeared in the heart of Vasudev, and from there, like the rays of the sun who go in the evening to the east where the moon rises and in a way give light to the moon or impregnate the moon, in the same way the Lord came from the heart of Vasudev's in his spiritual form into the heart of Devaki. And then Prabhupada says, nursed by her love, Devaki cherished him in her heart in the form of maternal affection. My baby, my child. Like the waxing moon, Sri Krishna underwent a gradual growth in the heart of Devaki. The waxing moon means the moon which becomes fuller and fuller and fuller every day. In that same way, the Lord came in the heart and grew in the heart. Yes, others could also see the signs of pregnancy in Devaki. But the main thing which the Bhagavatam focuses is his growth in her heart. And then he came out, and the Bhagavatam says, from out of her heart. No? He appeared. In other words, she didn't, her water didn't break, as you say, in ordinary pregnancies. And he appeared before his parents. So what is important for us to take note of, that this is a total different appearance than any conditioned soul in this material world. It is from the beginning to the end absolutely a Krishna-like appearance, a transcendental appearance. Because you must know, Krishna is never born and never dies like us. He's always there. In the Bhagavatam, Krishna describes this nature. He talks about himself. He says, "Ajopi sanavyayatma," and so on. Although I'm unborn, I'm actually not born, and my transcendent body never deteriorates. It doesn't become old. And although I am the Lord of all living entities, still I appear in every millennium in my original transcendental form. And how does he do this? Atma Mayaya, by my internal energy. This is how I make my appearance. So the appearance of a child with the material energy, which is taking place under the material energy, has all these signs that you can learn in the which German children learn in the biology class, you know, how an egg is fertilized with the sperma. I remember when our teacher taught this to us, he got red. He was an old style mad person. This is the material way, but here we hear it's under a different energy, and it's therefore totally different. It is under the internal energy, which opens us to the world of Krishna, where the internal energy reigns, and the personality of Krishna, who has a body not made of material energy, but of eternality, of bliss, and of knowledge. And this body can be seen when you have awakened to the spiritual level in your consciousness, and as a result, Krishna appears. It's a question of your Krishna Bhavanamrita, the nectar of Krishna Bhava, Krishna consciousness, as Prabhupada says. We have found a verse for you this morning, which is very interesting. It is it's spoken by Lord Shiva, and it is one of the key verses to understand the more confidential secrets of Krishna. Lord Shiva explains how Krishna appears in his consciousness. What happens when the Lord, or in what consciousness the Lord is appearing? It's a very wonderful verse. I will quote it for your hearing pleasure. Sadvam Vishudham Vasudeva Shaptitam Yad Iyate Tatra Pumana Pavrita. I know that you don't regularly speak in Sanskrit, so I will drop the rest, but Lord Shiva describes a little autobiography. He says, I personally am always engaged in offering obeisances to Lord Vasudev in pure Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is always pure consciousness in which the Supreme Personality of Godhead, known as Vasudev, is revealed without covering. Achcha! We learn here that Krishna always comes, not just at the time of when he appeared to Devaki in the prison. Krishna comes in pure consciousness and is revealed there without any covering, just as he is, pure. The real Krishna, you know, without mental imagination, without misunderstanding, without doubt, is this Krishna or is this my mind? He comes when that consciousness is purified. Would you like to read the purport of Prabhupada to this? Yes. I will ask you next Jamashtami if you did it. So here is for you. Oh, it says something. No, that is something else. Mobile telephone. It's a fourth canto, third chapter, verse 23. This is Krishna's quality of appearing. Now, there are usually three reasons for Krishna's appearance which are given. And the first, which is highlighted from all other reasons, is that Krishna comes to protect his devotees, because his devotees are coming sometimes in difficulties, especially in the material energy, and then he appears to set things right. There's a shloka from the 10th canto which says that Krishna speaks to the Vrijbasis, "I must," he says, "protect you all, the coward community, by my transcendental potency. For I'm your shelter, I'm your master, and indeed you are my own family. After all," Krishna says, "I have taken a personal vow to protect my devotees." Beautiful, no? Krishna says, "I must do it. I've given a vow. No gentleman breaks his vow." And he addresses the Vrijbasis, who were always inconvenienced by the asuras which were sent by Kamsa, because there's a reason why I must have given this vow. I am the shelter of my devotee, I am their master, and they indeed are my own family. I consider myself to be like their father. Therefore, the love which Krishna has for his devotees is Bhakta Vatsala. Who of you has children? Have you noted when you had a child, your child, maybe let's go to the firstborn child, how much love you had in your heart? I've just received a WhatsApp message from a very nice Vaishnavi who had given birth to her son, but the son has a heart condition, and according to the rules of the hospital, he must have surgery, and he don't. It's not a problem. Children, when they have some problem and they get an early surgery, they have amazing abilities to grow and recuperate. And so the mother wrote me, "I could hold him only for 2 seconds, and then the hospital staff took him into isolation because he needs to be with, he needs to be prepared for that important surgery. And I don't know what to do. I'm going mad. I want to see him. My little son." And then she said, "But then there will be the surgery, and I've heard it's an easy surgery, and then my son will be with me forever." Forever, we will all die. But no, the love, my dear devotees, love is an unrational feeling. It is the most beautiful emotion for the human being, you know, the love of the mother for the child. But in the meantime, I will go crazy, the mother says, because I can't see my child. It's terrible. I think she will open the hospital doors and sneak through the corridors and just to be with her child just from a distance. You know, go into the room and just look at the child. Yes, so Krishna says, "These children, I love them because they're my own family. I love them with this Bhakta Vatsalya. Vatsalya means parental love, exactly this love which we have heard about, the love of the mother for the child. That's the quality of my love. Those of you who have no children, you may know other forms of love, but that love which is most selfish, selfless, is different from the love which you know. It's most selfless, whereas the love in other relationships may be tainted to some degree with some little things of let me enjoy this. No. This is how Krishna feels towards his devotees, and therefore he says one reason is he will sneak into the world and just to give protection to the devotees. Another reason for Krishna to appear is to deal differently with the demons. He wants to punish them because they attack his devotees and he can't tolerate it. We have a verse for you which where this is highlighted. It is Maravata Ra Nayanye. Oh, don't even try. Others say that others say that the world being overburdened like a boat at sea is much aggrieved, and that Brahma, who is your son, prayed for you, and so you have appeared to diminish the trouble. That's the second reason. It's a valid reason. Yet the Lord comes to save the earth, which is in danger of sinking when there is bad politics, bad leaders, and so on. And then there's a third reason. He comes to establish the rules by which you can live in this world. What are the rules? In one word. Dharma, exactly. When you keep these rules, everything goes well. If you break them, you can't cheat on Dharma, no? But there is another Dharma. It's Sanatana Dharma, the eternal Dharma. And this is what Krishna has in his mind while he appears. He sets the rules for society and teaches Shastras like the Gita and so on. But he has a special group of devotees, people in mind, the devotees, and they will follow a different type of Dharma, not Loka Dharma, although they have to be aware and remain ethically and morally correct in their doings, but their main Dharma is Sanatana Dharma. To show causeless mercy to the devotees, oh, this is so good, my dear devotees, but you must hear a little bit back. I can hear. I soon will give you a sensation, don't worry, which will make it easier to listen. To show causeless mercy to the devotees who would take birth in the future in this age of Kali, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, acted in such a way that simply by remembering him, one will be freed from all the lamentation and unhappiness of material existence. Isn't that sweet, my dear devotees? Krishna knows Kali Yuga will be in the planet. There will be my devotees in Kali Yuga. Let us not call them Kali Yuga devotees. That sounds so offensive. But they will be devotees in Kali Yuga. That means they will have ample opportunities to lament and to be unhappy in this world. No? This will be there, is unavoidable in Kali Yuga. Diseases, misunderstandings, constant quarreling, and so on and so forth. This will all be there. But Krishna knew this, and therefore he did some activities. And if you remember them, you will be freed from all the lamentation and unhappiness of material existence. You know me, I'm a person who likes to see, is that true or is that just some religious talk? So I made an experiment. There was a moment in my travel, I'm now finishing a 5-week tour, and you can hear it in the voice. That was a tour, mega tour. Lots of singing, lots of speaking. There was a moment when there was a grave misunderstanding amongst two devotees. Both were very close to me, and I became very affected by the result of their unfortunate conflict. And then I thought, well, I have to give a class very soon. And if I'm so sad that I need psychological treatment, what class will come out? So I knew this verse, that Krishna had done some activities which make you free from lamentation and unhappiness. And I thought, and when we remember this, then we are becoming free from lamentation and unhappiness. So I sat down, and I remembered the pastime of Kaliya Damana, where, you know, Krishna jumped into the Yamuna to ultimately drive Kaliya out of the Yamuna, but he first needed to show him who is his master and wrestle with him. So I was thinking about this, and all the time as I was thinking, the memory of the quarrel came back. Oh no, they're quarreling. I mean, that sounds like, oh no, if they quarrel, soon the rest of the summer camp will quarrel, you know, and so on. I was not able to focus. But then I remembered how Sanatana Goswami described that as Krishna was dancing on the hoods of Kaliya Damana, he made a grand gesture like this. And with this gesture, he invited the gopis, who were there breathlessly watching him, to dance with him on the heads of Kaliya, because he felt dancing alone is boring, you know. So they're fully surrendered, these devotees. They lost their fear because Krishna called them, of course, and they jumped on the heads of Kaliya, and there was a beautiful dance festival. And as I remember this, all my unhappiness and lamentation went away. Yeah, Prabhupada explains this in he's so enthusiastic in this verse. He says, in other words, listen everyone, he acted so that all future devotees, by accepting the instructions of Krishna consciousness stated in Bhagavad Gita, could be relieved from the pangs of material existence. If you want to read please read 9:24:61. So this is why Krishna appears, protecting his devotees, punishing the demons, and establishing Dharma by bringing to the ordinary people, you know, awareness of Dharma. This word is known in our society, and they can choose to follow. And for the devotees, Sanatana Dharma, that is hearing about Krishna. Now, my dear devotees, everything will change in this lecture. Enough of this talk now. Sachinandan Swami, you speak that the first reason for Krishna is to protect his devotees. What is Vishaya Pataka Maharaj? Kidney and lung transferation. What is with all those devotees? This one devotee, the head of Food for Life in the Ukraine, a bomb fell on the Food for Life building and killed him. Krishna Tattva was his name. What is with all those, what is with the devotees who went on pilgrimage to Nepal and the airplane crashed? 12 of them died. What is with that person who died just yesterday? He was a devotee of Krishna. He had kidney failures and everything else failure. And how can you ignore these situations? How can you talk like this to a devotee group who wants to become Krishna conscious and just ignore this fact and just talk some pious things? We are solidly disappointed with you, Sachinandan Swami. So I will now answer this question, which I always have. I don't know if you sometimes have it. I need, however, for a demonstration, I need ein Glas, das transparent ist, also aus Glas, das halb voll mit Wasser ist. Also wenn es nicht hier ist, in meinem, wo ich wohne, da habe ich sowas. Gut. My dear devotees, there was a time in our Krishna consciousness movement when the devotees in the Soviet Union, former Soviet Union, were cruelly persecuted by the KGB. They were often interrogated. They were subjected to torment of such nasty way that I will not tell you what the highlights of the torments. I mean, there were things, if you hear them, you will go, oh my God. However, so we went in Germany and all over the world before the embassies and demonstrated and gave letters to the embassy. We had the names of devotees who were sitting in prisons and in psychiatric institutions where they were tormented, and we demanded their freedom. There was also a song, Mr. Gorbachev, I have something to say. Our Prahlad, no, free the devotees, something, please let them go. We made a campaign that went even in the record industry and so on. However, in 1991, the former Soviet Union was dissolved. And the devotees came the first time to India. Also those for whom we have had demonstrated, one was Sannyas, was his name, another was Kamalamala, and so on. They were heroes, really. And when they arrived in Vrindavan, their eyes were full of tears. They were with devotees, they ate Mahaprasad, they saw deities, they could chant and dance in Kirtan. And one big feast was arranged to them by them for them. One was cooked by our master cook in our movement. And the other, that was a very, very opulent feast, and it was served. So the two sannyasis served the devotees, and they gave him so much prasadam that no human being, not even a starved prisoner, could finish it. They had a plan. When the Russian devotees entered the place where the meal was served, they had to walk through a sandy area which had been prepared by these two sannyasis who had a plan. The first plan is they gave them so much that they would leave a lot of remnants, and then our sannyasi Thakurs would eat it as Mahaprasad. And the second was the devotees would walk over the sand into the place there where they would eat prasada. And the devotees, then later the sannyasis, took buckets of the sand and took a bath in that sand, which was impregnated with the dust from the lotus feet of the heroes, the Russian devotees. Now, when there were three especially hardcore devotees, Sannyas and Kamalamala, and their brother, name is not known at this moment, and when they later found out that the devotees had eaten what they had left over and had taken a bath in the dust, they were absolutely disturbed. And Sannyas, he said in a heavy Russian accent, I can't speak like he must have spoken, I think it is even more dangerous here than in prison in the Soviet Union. In prison, listen to his reason. In prison, they can only harm your body. But here, with all this worship, they can kill your bhakti. So, when he said this, his older brother Kamala came by and said, after all, Queen Kunti was right. This is an article I'm taking it from an article from my god brother Dhanudaswami. After all, Queen Kunti was right. Now, for those of you who do not understand this, you must know the verse which Queen Kunti said. Vipada Shantu Tassa Swat. It's first canto, chapter 8. She says, now she looks back into the past and she finds out, as she remembers what happened, that whenever she was in difficulty in the past, she prayed intensely for Krishna. And as a result of this prayer, Krishna was always right by her side. She says, therefore, she's already, the war is over, troubles are over, her sons are ruling the world, but she says, I wish that all those calamities would happen again and again. What? Does he have a masochistic problem? No, listen, it is a very subtle point. I wish that all those calamities would happen again and again, so that we could see you again and again. For seeing you means that we will no longer see repeated births and deaths. My God, again the point is here. When you have Krishna in your heart, your main problem is solved. And it is seen in this world that we turn to Krishna more when we feel an urgent need than when we are in our comfort zone and think our life is all right. Therefore, even saintly people who are on the path of spiritual life are very eager to voluntarily accept difficulties in their life. What is this voluntary acceptance of difficulty called? Tapasya. Know this, know that, know this, know that. For instance, on Krishna's appearance day, the tradition asks us to fast until midnight. Now, our ISKCON is so rich. We are so prominent in India, at least. And we have seen, if we don't serve to the devotees some pashadam, they will not come for Jamashtami. In old times this was unthinkable. In modern times this is thinkable very much. There will be food stalls up all day. They will be filled with demand. There will be high demand. The times, they have changed. I don't want to comment on this. My point is different. It's not about fasting or not fasting. My point is, spiritualists are known throughout the centuries in various cultures to accept difficulties, because when the consciousness is not filled and covered with so many material pleasures, and when that is even reduced in a responsible way, one can turn more to Krishna. And this is what the Russian devotees seem to say here. They say, it's dangerous for us to be in this comfort, to be so much worshipped, to be so prominent, because this could kill our bhakti. And with this, I want to revisit a famous question in our movement. What do you see here? Oh, I don't hear you. A glass of water. Is that all which you see? Half full glass. Half glass. Half empty. My dear devotees, it's different. Listen now, it's a new point. You have never heard it. This you have heard many times. The positive people say it's half full. The people who are lament and are always nothing is enough, they say it's half empty. That's not the point. Listen, I say the glass is absolutely full. There's water in the glass and there's air in the glass. Absolutely full. It's a paradigm shift. In our life, we should learn to accept the happiness and the distress equally. Life will have happiness and distress in the world. Krishna consciousness, different from Hindu religion, is not about increasing the happiness in this life. That is a religion. That's a purpose of a religion. Krishna consciousness is about seeing Krishna everywhere, in happiness and distress, in day and night, and so on. It's an entirely different perspective, my dear devotees. So when we hear of the things which happen, devotees who have accidents, who die with a disease and so on. This does not belittle Krishna consciousness at all. When Jaipataka Maharaj, you know as health history, he was once, his throat was cut, he survived it. And then 9 years back or so, new lungs and new liver? Please, someone help me.
First a stroke,
thank you. Bang, he was out. I visited him in the hospital and was with him and chanted mantras. He had no response. Then the nurse came and said, "Swamiji, I have to change Swamiji. You need to go out. I have to, do some, medical activities. And then you can come back." So because he had not responded earlier, the tactile sense, I grabbed his hand, I was holding his hand, and so on. And I was now following the nurse's advice and pulling my hand out of the hand. All of a sudden, I felt Jaipataka Maharaj's hand. He is a strong person, I said to the nurse, I can't go, he's stronger than me. He's holding me. Then the nurse cried and said, "This person is different than any person I've ever seen." We always have these such things. He is at the moment not able to communicate, but he's totally aware of everything that happens. Later I asked Maharaj, I said, "Maharaji, now you have stroke, you cannot speak very fluently. How is it?" He said, "Yes, sometimes it's physically a little difficult." And I said, and what's about Krishna protects his devotees? Did he forget you?" And he said, "I don't know." He looked at me and, "Well, you're always like this, no?" First you ask the harmless question and then bang. And he said, he was very serious, he said, "He protects the consciousness of his devotees. And it is this which is most important. The body comes and goes. Material pleasures come and go. Sometimes everyone likes you, sometimes no one likes you. This has to come like the waves of an ocean. The protection of Krishna to his devotee is to make something to attract him to him, so that he is more conscious of him. Because as Queen Kunti has informed us, if we are more conscious of Krishna, holding him in our heart, we will not see any longer birth and death in this world. Conclusion. Krishna appeared in the prison cell of Kamsa and he illuminated the entire space. If Krishna, with his divine effulgence, when Krishna appears in the heart of the devotee, then the devotee celebrates another Jamashtami throughout the year. Because when we invite Krishna in our heart, the terrible darkness of illusion is removed and we become Krishna consciousness. Therefore this verse is there. You have heard this verse. Oh Krishna, oh Krishna, oh Krishna, oh Krishna. Those who continuously... So, actually, how does Krishna appear in our heart? My dear devotees, listen now. This is how you can have your Jamashtami 24 hours. I mean, that's a long time. Let us say, throughout the year, no? O Krishna, those who continuously hear, chant, and repeat your transcendental activities, or take pleasure in others doing so, certainly see your lotus feet. The lotus feet of the Lord. Parallel. By hearing, chanting, and repeating, the lotus feet of the Lord can be seen, which alone can stop the repetition of birth and death. Do you want to have smooth sailing through the material world, or do you want Krishna? Hare Krishna. Do you want to be a religious man or a spiritual man? You have to see that there is a difference. Here is a difference. You will most probably forget everything what you heard. No, it's full glass. Happiness and distress belong to this world. Maturity means, even in psychology, the marshmallow test, you know, there it is shown and confirmed that if you can, you have to arrange yourself with both. Those who always run away from difficulties, those who always want work in repairing the broken construction, they might miss the point. Of course, we will do whatever is necessary, but our greatest necessity is inviting Krishna in our heart. Hare Krishna. Krishna was merciful. I could. I will. I'm so thankful that I could say this, because I wanted to say this for a long time, and Hare Krishna. What do you think? Any question? Gavi Chanda. Gavi Chanda has no question at the moment. Yeah, I see one devotee. Yes, please. We will have a microphone for you so that you can, we can hear you.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. This, my devotee Nila perishes. This is like also like that his devotee is always protected, and like his consciousness will be protected. So the non-devotees, so their consciousness, it's like that they can be degraded more and more. This is like the meaning that a devotee, his consciousness, whatever he makes in progress, this will be protected. And the non-devotee, he might go in the lower species. This is like the meaning that Kandivati is always protected.
Well, you bring two things. The devotee's consciousness is protected if he wants it, my dear devotees. Prabhupada once said, don't think Maya cannot come into the temple. She's a pure devotee. She's very much welcome by Krishna. Krishna can welcome Maya if you welcome Maya. Which is done a lot. You know, at that time when he said it, we all lived inside the temples. Now we mostly live in our own houses and apartments. Maya can come much easier there, because in the temple you couldn't see so much and do so much. You were packed in a room with so many people. But when you are alone, you know what you can do. You know better than I. And so you have to decide. It's a religion would say we are the best because we belong to this particular religion and it's better than everyone else. And all those who are not in our group, they are gone. You know, this is what a religion would say. Group consciousness, the sense of belonging is very important. My group, spiritual people are interested in one thing, that's the transformation of the heart, so that Krishna can come. You know, recently when I arrived here, there was a very high-posted devotee. I think he's still, I mean, he's in, maybe most probably in this lecture, and he was introduced to me as a leader of this project, then another project, as a collector of millions of dollars, and he was introduced to me. Then I asked this devotee, there is one project which I think you are very much aware of, and I had. I touched his heart and I said, this project, purifying the heart, is the most important project. And the devotee looked at me and said, thank you. I came all the way from America just to hear this one sentence. I usually don't speak like this before, I said, but somehow I felt compelled to speak like this. This is what is most important for a spiritual person. Good, and there is Buddha Bhavana is here. Hare Krishna, Buddha Bhavana.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you for a wonderful class. And thank you for all the wonderful points which you made here. I wanted to ask a question. You were talking about this point about the protection of consciousness. And in relation to that, I wanted to ask, how do we understand popularity as it relates to Christian consciousness? Because on the one hand, it can be a facility to share Christian consciousness with more people. And at the same time, as you were saying, there's also the other side of it, the danger in terms of how we may perceive it. So how should we think about that? How should we understand that? Just any comments or realizations you may have on this stage?
I personally feel those who are interested in these and purifying the heart will always be in the minority. They are like monks, perhaps, or elderly people who are very serious, and there should be attention given to this crowd. But there is another crowd which is much, much, much more in numbers, And this is people who are interested in a religious way to worship the Lord once a year. Look at like this, in Christianity also, if you would tell a Christian you should, to be a Christian, you need to meditate each day 2 hours. No one would do that. We are telling this to people, to the vast masses, and therefore most of our people have difficulties to chant 2 hours. It's not for them. They are not that type of spiritualist. They may be sevakas, but not sadakas. Most of our followers are not sadakas. They have a different life. They live in the world. They have children to take care of, a job. And we must have both. And there must be support, appreciation between these two groups, and not struggles and not judgments. The vast majority of those who will approach our movement must therefore be given very nice facilities to stay. Like Prabhupada, he said, I built this Mayapur project for you, because if I would have kept only a straw hut, no one would come and worship. So therefore those who are responsible preachers must keep them also the vast majority in mind. For them we have festivals, and there is rock and roll, and there is kirtan with wow, and with beautiful voices, you know, and so on. Because that's how we can grab the attention. And then we know, once someone starts in Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada compared it with a step. He will go on one step, then he, oops, the next step, then the next step. The difficulty is if someone starts on a step, feels lonely, 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 oh, I can't do that, my life, and then goes down. It should be this way, not that way. So therefore, this verse, which the Lord Chaitanya liked so much, Rudvik, you can tolerate it a little bit more, wherever we are stationed, in whatever situation of life we are, we should hear about Krishna. Jnane prayasam urabhasta namanta eva. And by just hearing about Krishna more and more, the Lord, who is otherwise unconquerable, becomes conquered. So as preachers we have the must, majority of people in mind. I remember it when we had in the past GBC, and he did wonderful service when he was okay, and he liked music, so he brought out different music. And it was music with Western instrumentation, Western songs, and so on, or Western texts. Once giving, I think he said it to all these, this is not for you, my disciples, this is for another group, because everyone was grooving it, and, you know.
In the kitchen.
No kitchen rock and roll. So I remember at that time he expressed frustration, genuine frustration. They don't understand what to do. Then I said, when it comes to music,
Maharaj, I like the Stones. I don't like your music. But I don't listen to the Stones any longer. But they hear this. Most probably they would like the Stones also, or someone else. But because it's you and they love you, they hear this. But yes, you must say it many again and again. Perhaps they understand. It was a dilemma. Hare Krishna. These two audiences, very important. I will look towards the Mataji side. I see your good name, I know, but I keep forgetting. It's something with Krishna, isn't it? It's Krishna Sakha. I'm coming to you. I see that, well, I thought of Mataji should, but Purnamasi, you always have a question.
It's an urgent one.
Okay.
Hare Krishna. Thank you. So,
we have a microphone for you.
Thank you very much. You spoke about Queen Kunti, and in her prayer, she said, she prayed that she would be able to go through the same calamities, where she knew Krishna was also there. So the same calamities. She was not praying for the calamities where she would not know if Krishna would be there. Like I saw in the glass, I saw only the water. I didn't see the air. So, and then these calamities, which she experienced and all the Pandavas experienced, they were quite obvious. And can you say something then about the calamities which we experience, they should not be always just from the outside world, but the calamities which we experience inside, and this assurance which she had. So the same calamities when she knew Krishna will be there.
Yes.
How can we get this assurance?
I understand. There are calamities where Krishna seems to be absent. Yes. Purnamasi, you need to listen, because some points are very subtle. You have to now forget your question for a moment, and the mindset which asked the question, you have to forget it for a moment and enter another mindset. It is possible for you, don't worry. Did Queen Kunti really ask for calamities? Is that the point? I mean, no. Well, what is this? What it is, that it is seen that people in this world find it much easier to remember Krishna and when they are in difficulties. Therefore, there's the voluntary acceptance of difficulties on the spiritual path. And in my mind, and this is now a personal interpretation, you can chant when you inflict difficulties on your consciousness. You are humble, more humble than the straw in the street. That's not easy. You're tolerant, woo, even more difficult. You give respect and don't have respect. These are things you do voluntarily, and in this way you come down from an inflated so-called comfort zone chanting, but you're really feeling, the Sanskrit word is dainya, it means something like wretched. Do you know in your language what wretched means?
I know.
Yeah, wretched means, I'm really not good, you know. So this is from where it is seen. Normally, a person can approach God the easiest. Enchanting, that's true, enchanting. That's true also when nature has brought you to your senses. Look in your life when you feel, I really need you, Radha. I really am your lost servant here. I'm so far away. I'm sitting here. There's in Radharasa Sudhaniti, there's this amazing prayer. I'm sitting on the path of Vrindavan. I'm waiting for some mercy. That mercy would be if you would come by on your way to Krishna and see me crying here on the path. You would say, come along with me. And this would be my meditation. This is how the great devotee. Why does Mahaprabhu cry? He doesn't go around in Rolls Royces, no Rolls Royce, and a golden ox cart, you know. Govinda, I feel your separation. And this is not these tears are not crocodile tears. They are not induced by pepper in the eyes. They are really because you feel you can't stand it any longer. Raghunath Goswami ends his prayer, Vilap Kushamanjali, where he says, the misery of being separated from you is so intolerable. I can't even speak any longer. The voice is out of me. If you don't show your mercy, that is your prerogative. It's all right. But just know, I'm at my end. I'm at the very end. This is what, you know, brings you out of the unreality of the world to the reality of the spiritual world. Therefore, there's this verse, Purnamasi, you know better than I. To those who have the special mercy, they get these wake-up calls by some miseries. Yeah. It's a total different type of thinking. The difference in the thinking is that is the reality, and here I'm in danger. Hare Krishna. I like what these devotees said. This might take our bhakti away, whatever little we have. You don't know Purnamasi because you are not, at least not officially designated guru. When you are praised and praised and praised and more praised and more praised, then you think, well, I mean, they get something, otherwise they wouldn't be praised, you know, something comes. And then you start, I'm actually a good speaker. And you get angry when someone calls you a speculator, you know. yes. The very thing we are crazy after in this world, fame, money, adoration. Mahaprabhu says, no, please not. They're dangerous. It's a total paradigm shift which is required to understand this in depth. And to make the lecture digestible, my dear devotees, practice on the level where you are regularly, where you are. Chant Hare Krishna, your life will be sublime. We have the best prasadam, the best food, best lifestyle. All this is also there. That is also available by Krishna's mercy. what would be our chance if we wouldn't have? It's given by Krishna according to our need, so that we can do the main thing, progress in Krishna consciousness by hearing about him. He's a kind Lord. He doesn't give the same treatment to everyone. When it comes to our approach with Yukta Vairagya, so many things can be done in Yukta Vairagya. While all this goes on, Yukta Vairagya, the main thing is purification of the heart, which is done on every level, for everyone. Everyone is welcome and has a chance. All standards are totally all right. Everything wonderful. Because once you start with Krishna, you will go further. Good. There is one last question from our Krishna Sakha from London. By the way, we have so many good devotees from London. Kana Kabja has come. He resides in London, I believe, now. Your dancing is still what it always was, Kana Kabja. You got a dead man dancing today. Actually, it was Jai Gopal first, and then that was a wonderful kirtan, isn't it? With dance and so good. Prabhupada said, "Let us. We can enjoy all these things. No, it's good." Yes, Krishna Sakha, the friend of Krishna.
Thank you much for such a lovely class. I felt it was full circle that you started speaking about how every day is an opportunity for Krishna to be born in our heart, and you concluded by explaining exactly how to do that through shravanam and the ripening of that fruit. My question is, for someone like me who doesn't really have much taste for katha or taste for hearing about Krishna, is there anything we can do that helps to support the ripening of the shravanam fruit quicker?
Yeah, Krishna is very expert. I would recommend you do you like adventure, romance? No need to say. There's Mahabharata, and in it appears the jewel of Mahabharata, the Bhagavad Gita. This is Krishna's genuinity. You have to find out Krishna Sakha, what you like. Pursue it, and what you like in Krishna consciousness, and you will find Krishna. I personally started my interest in Krishna Katha with Mahabharata. I remember I could not even appreciate the Krishna book at that time. It was there, and then we got I got a Mahabharata. There was no ISKCON Mahabharata available. It was some Mahabharata from India, but I thought it was very nice, and I was so starved, I remember, for drama, for interesting things, you know. I was a young man. I loved, you know, I was a fan of boxing. I appreciated Muhammad Ali and how he said he's the greatest. Wow, wonderful. You know, I was a man of this culture. But then nothing, only philosophical text. Early in the morning, yes, but on only philosophy. Then Mahabharata. I remember I was so starved, like a hungry man, Krishna Sakha. I read it in 3 nights. Because I at that time we were extremely fanatical. Fanatical is a bad word. Extremely strict. I could not be seen reading an extra curriculum book. So I read it in the night. Then I came to Mangala Arati, and after the third night, I almost fell over in the devotee said, "What's wrong with you?" Some tapasya. I'm staying up all night. But then my lectures were full of Mahabharata. So then one said, "Oh, God, that you give us some of this." So whatever it is, Krishna Sakha, start where you are genuinely attracted. Lord Chaitanya is the Lord of the, even of the fallen. You're not fallen, but he is Patita Pavana. He's only not Kapata Pavana, the friend of the cheetahs. That he is not. Patita Pavana, but not Kapata. Kapata means cheating. So don't pretend to be on a level where you are not. Be on that level. Be with the Krishna and it will... you will like. Have I answered your question? No, not completely, no? Yeah?
Perfectly, thank you.
Really? Wow. So, my dear devotees.
Maharaj.
Yes?
I can't let you go. Oh, I'm sorry. I have a pending question. Before I joined, the person who preached to me told me that the purpose of life is to become pure devotee of Krishna. When I went to the temple and they asked me, "Why are you here?" I told the devotees that were preaching to me, that were welcoming me, "Why are you here?" I said, "To become a pure devotee." And they were surprised, very surprised. As if they've forgotten that was the purpose, their purpose for being there. I can't see, well, that didn't work out very well for me, but I can see that you are actually always re-examining your heart, and seems like you're never satisfied with it. And a devotee of Krishna should be satisfied, should be happy, should be... I mean, I can see all of it in you. So, can you please help us?
With this?
You said, well, start from where you are, but we want to go further. We need to go further. We are not going to make it out of this world just on remaining. And I don't think Krishna consciousness is a level plane. It's an uphill. And there's nowhere to stand. And so unless you go up, you're sliding down. So tell us how to do it. How do you do it?
To give a very practical perspective on this. See, when you join, you usually have the literature and Prabhupada's books, and you have your own dissatisfaction with life as it is. You know there must be something higher, and you perceive that spiritual essence in Prabhupada and in some devotees. Now, when you join the movement, and this movement is a missionary movement. It came from India to the West to do benefit to others. We would not be here without this movement. And so many people are contacted in this movement. And now in India, where we started very small and slow, you know, this is amazing, you know, our temples and so on. So our movement has become a preaching movement. Is a preaching movement. But you have to live your life in two areas. If you want to be a servant in this movement, yes, you are the preacher, and you know, you will give preaching lectures. This lecture I have given for devotees. I could, if you would hear me in another forum, you would hear a cultural lecture about, you know, how this is the greatest festival done in India. It's now all over the world, and it is nice to join such a global festival. Blah 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 blah, you know. No, I'm saying my blah blah not in a derogative way, and so on and so forth. I wanted to say, yes, but we as devotees, we came for a certain reason, and we should not forget that preaching is not all, but it is our service. It is for that we will do. And we should not let institutionalized spirituality, you know, the minimum and the one shoe fits all, you know, become our own standard, but we should have our spiritual. ISKCON is meant to, yeah, Prabhupada had a great plan to really reach out to the whole world and show them, you know, an example and teach them. And it is also meant for those who go, who are devotees, to purify their heart, to see how they can improve their chanting, their sadhana, etc. We should not mistake the other thing. Once there was a devotee in America who asked me to write down a recommendation for him to take sannyas to the sannyas ministry. You know, when a candidate wishes to take sannyas, he is asked, because not everyone knows him, that he gives some references of devotees who know him, and they write recommendations. And he said to me, Maharaj, please recommend me. Your voice is very powerful because you are one of the older members of our society. You know, I opened so many temples. I became relatively quick a temple president. I collected, I counted it over the years, 5 million euros. My children from my previous marriage are all taken care of financially. My life is taken care of financially. You can recommend me. I said, what's here? Oh, Maharaj, I needed to hear that from you. Standard answer. No, seriously, what is... That is, this movement is for... Have you ever heard this? It's called Krishna. Now listen to the second word. Consciousness. It's about... Have you heard this before? What does this mean in your meaning? You only told me money, influence, people. Huh? Did you miss the point? I said it so politely that he, and encouragingly, but that was in my mind. What I said is, I said it politely, because we need to encourage devotees. What is the benefit of saying something harsh? So both, do your service. Prabhupada wanted to have this merciful mission to spread Krishna consciousness to the fallen, and do what is necessary to do this. Prabhupada did what was necessary, you know, going to New York, standing in line before the shower, you know, he did this. And then pursue your Krishna consciousness also. The institution cannot do that for you. You have to do that. And the institution doesn't claim that it can do it. except we have sometimes some hot-headed people for some time, then they become cool-headed very quickly, you know. But yes, it's not, I think our love for Prabhupada and for Krishna also, Krishna is also so merciful for us, is shown in that we do preaching, that we do what is required, no? I like our Krishna Prema Rupa as GBC, high position, but he is MC, he serves prasadam, he dances in the kirtan, because it's not about position, it's about our own spiritual life. We have to pursue that. Good. I need to end here. Can we just find out, can we just go to the deity? Yes, here. Was ist das Zeichen? Was sagst du? Wir könnten also anfangen mit dem Darshan? Okay. So everyone, please. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Shri Goni Dai ki, Shri Radha Manan Mahan ki, Gaur Prema Nanda.